The World Cup Championship will be crowned this week, and you can trade the tourney through the finals on Kalshi, America's number one prediction market platform. Right now, Spain is trading at 58% to beat Argentina, meaning 100 trade pays out 166 if they win. On Kalshi, you're trading against other people in a live market. No house, no odds makers. For a limited time, download the Kalshi app and use code DEFEND to get $10 when you trade $10. K-A-L-S-H-I. Kalshi. Trade the beautiful game. 18 plus only. Restrictions and eligibility requirements apply. Event contract trading involves risk and may not be suitable for all investors. Kalshi products are not available in all jurisdictions. Prices, values, and available markets may differ from those mentioned. For more information, see kalshi.com/regulatory.
Warning. This product contains nicotine. Nicotine is an addictive chemical.
At Vuse, we're vapor done right. Always simple. Always in your pocket. So you can focus on what really matters, like getting back to your podcast. Find out more at Vuse.com. That's Vuse.com.
Underage sale prohibited. Vuse is a vapor product. Website restricted to age 21 plus tobacco consumers. Copyright 2026 RJRBC.
Ever wondered how a book gets made into a movie?
Or how to master the art of cooking?
Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef.
On our podcast, we're going to be serving you a fresh perspective of the entertainment industry alongside our favorite celebrity guests.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
Hey, thanks for downloading the podcast. If you want to listen live, all you have to do is download the iHeartRadio app and search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Also, if you want to catch this show on video, be sure to check out Zumo TV, channel 719. That's where you can find Sports Grid's Fantasy Sports Network. Enjoy the show, and thanks so much for listening.
Hey, good morning and welcome in Fantasy Sports Today on Sports Grid. Once again, Craig Bish and Joe Ranieri here with you on the show. Hopefully you are, had a good weekend and also a really good Monday. And we're off and running here on this Tuesday, April the 28th, closing out on the month and hopefully getting closer to some sports. Coming up a little bit later in the show, Howard Bender is going to join us from Fantasy Alarm. We'll dive into some of the fantasy ramifications from the 2020 NFL draft, and of course, move on to some potential baseball discussion as well. And Joe, good to see you. Good to be back with you here on this Tuesday. What's happening?
I don't know. I feel like it's this whole different outlook on everything here. I just feel like we're close here, Mish. I feel like we are close. I feel like we are closer than we've been in a long time to getting some normalcy back and to getting some sports back, and knock on wood, all continues to move forward like this, and a path to some normalcy, especially with the world of sports. And I think the NFL helped with the 55 million people who tuned in to day three of a draft, included that was filled with a bunch of players who will never make the team. But man, that was a lot of interest in 3 days of football there. And I think the sports community has spoken and said, yes, we will support it if you give it to us.
Yeah, for sure. And I think so. And hopefully we'll have an NBA draft and a Major League Baseball draft.
Yes.
You know, it's interesting. Before we get into sports today, somebody asked me this question, mm-hmm. and it was an easy answer for me because right around my birthday, I was able to answer what I did. But we've been basically, I mean, you go back and forth to a studio.
Right.
And so, you know, you're out probably more than I am, to be honest with you. But somebody said, what is the best meal that you've had thus far? And my wife has cooked a lot and has made some really good meals. I also had stone crabs one time.
Okay.
But Joe, what would you say your best meal has been since this all started? Are you like just eating normal, or have you changed your habits as well? I think you said you bought a lot of pasta.
Yeah, I do a lot of pasta, but without a doubt, it's easy. Hands down, it's gotta be, Sunday dinner at my parents. So my mother's sauce, and that's gonna be it. Yeah, I mean, that's, you know, it's the one thing, and because, you know, she's the old school Italian mom, she makes enough food to feed the entire neighborhood. So it's just, you know, here's food for the week kind of thing. I'm like, that, I got it. Thank you. Appreciate it. So yeah, I eat all good to go. I don't have to worry about that. So all I got to do is make one trip up north and I'm good to go. That's it.
So Sunday covers you done. For Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. Basically.
Woman
or maybe
feed an
longer.
Army. Yes, the woman just makes more food than humanly possible. Yes, somebody's got to eat it because then she makes you feel bad. Have those starving kids.
I've heard that one too. Brutal. I've heard that one. Yep. Sure. All right. So that makes sense. Mom's cooking. My wife's cooking. Yeah. I guess we're both in good spots with that.
Exactly. Sure. I wouldn't mind. I'll trade you a couple of meatballs for a few stone crabs here. I got no problem with that.
I only had it one time.
Yeah. They're in season too, are they not?
I know. And that's interesting too. I wonder if they're going to extend the season because I would have to imagine that the amount of stone crabs that were eaten is probably like 10% of what it normally is. Usually the season ends May 15th.
May, so. Right? Yeah, it's just around the corner too. So
I don't think they're going to end it.
No.
I mean, they could have it year round now, I would guess. I mean, they always stop it because they want the crabs to regenerate their claws. You know,
that's
the
correct.
Reason why. But now they're not even being caught. So
Nope. There's going to be some excess, that's for sure.
Yeah, maybe so. Maybe
they were giving lobsters away. They were selling lobsters for like 50 cents a pound in some places because that was... Wow. I was like, wow, this is very interesting here that you can finally go all out and have yourself a surf and turf for like $3.
That's great. Yeah, the thing with the stone crabs is that almost no matter what, they'll stop in November or December because once the crabs get cold, it sticks to the shell and it just becomes almost impossible. I mean, you can eat it, but it's not fun. You know, it's a lot of, too much work for people. So I would guess maybe through June or July, but that's a good question. I'm going to have to look into that.
That's it. Make sure, don't forget, you know, throw a couple extra claws in for your friend over here. Thanks.
I got you covered, John.
Thank you very much.
Meatballs for stone crabs.
Appreciate it. You got it. We're in.
All right. The news of the day came yesterday late in the afternoon, and it was a little bit depressing, but I guess tempered with some optimism too, which is yesterday, as we discussed on the show, the NBA was considering opening up camp on May the 1st. A lot of teams were making different announcements saying, whoa, this is not camp. This is individual players. And, you know, there's going to be all these rules in place. And then they pushed that thing back, Joe, late yesterday to May the 8th. And so, you know, I don't know that I look at it as positive or negative one way or the other. I looked at it as a positive initially because with all of the other sports being discussed, such as NASCAR, such as some golf tournaments starting to happen, I kind of lumped the NBA in with this, but it looks like a little bit of a delay for another week. I still have to say, though, I'm mildly and cautiously optimistic that if the NBA has decided to do this, if this works... and it works in May, then maybe in June we'd actually see some NBA games being played.
Yeah, and I think we're close. I really do. I think that's just kind of the first step. And again, I think the great thing about the NFL and the way they've approached all of this is that while everyone else was scrambling to try to make changes to their season, the NFL was like, we're full steam ahead. Like, we're going to have our draft. We're going to have free agency. You know, and all the same people that crucified the NFL for doing this, by the way, for holding this draft and how absurd it was to let free agency go, are also the same people who are saying now how wonderful it was that the NFL, you know, kept.
Yeah, what happened to those people?
Yeah, well, it's the same people, too. It's what cracks me up. And, you know, it's amazing when you strip down all the glitz and the glamour, how great you were crucifying them a couple of weeks ago. But I do think the ratings speak volumes to those leagues that might be more concerned with what social media thinks about their move of getting back on the courts or getting back in the arenas. None of this is going to include fans, but I do think that the ratings show that, listen, the people that matter, your consumer base, will support sports coming back in some capacity. So if that's what they're worried about, I would not worry about what the naysayers on Twitter have to do.
Yeah. I mean, if you think about it, I mean, with the amount of money that is out there for these teams in terms of advertising and marketing and everything else, I would guess that we'll see something in June for sure. But again, still got to make sure that under the CDC guidelines and along those lines that everyone still continues to stay safe. Hopefully we will have that. This is also a very big week for the Korean Baseball League, where if some of those games do start, and it looks like they are going to be on TV a little bit later in the week. A
lot more fanfare in that league. Am I not correct? Like that, like watching the ball, a lot of little showmanship going on in that league?
Yeah, it's not Japanese baseball. I don't know that people would consider the Korean Baseball League on the level of some of the Japanese leagues, but look, some good players have gone over there, and
and have had a lot of success. They've also come back too, and Dan Straley is pitching in that league. Yes. And
Backflips? Are we talking showmanship here, or is it very?
I don't know. That's a good question. I'm not really sure about all that, but I know that I know from a talent standpoint,
it's not.
The KBO is above some of the others, but below probably what's in Japan.
So but Japan, the money you'd is put really up good. There. Japan, you would put as the closest thing to.
I think so.
To what?
Okay. I think so.
And China doesn't not the same level of as what Japan's.
It's about. Yeah, it's a little bit different, and you don't really hear a ton of Taiwanese and Chinese players coming to the United States. Some do every once in a while. It's just not as prevalent as Japanese, and really the KBO, as I said, it's kind of stepped down from Japan, and the players who go to play in Japan certainly have their choice, but the KBO notoriously over the last few years is paying a lot more money.
Than the Japanese siphoning the US, some of the talent, huh? Nice.
$1 million a player.
Wow.
A guy's trying to make a team here and make 400 grand, he gets a guaranteed million in the KBO.
I did not realize it was that much money. Wow.
Yeah. No one's going over there getting paid less than $1 million.
Smart on their part. Absolutely. Very good. Yeah.
So it could work out there. Along those lines with baseball, ESPN reported yesterday that the thought process is more and more that there won't be a minor league baseball season. And I think for most people, Joe, this doesn't really affect them. And for what we do, doesn't really affect us either. But make no mistake about it, when we start diving more into fantasy baseball, and even in terms of doing some baseball futures, this is going to be very prevalent. We're going to have no idea. Yeah. If there is no minor league season, when some of these kids will be playing in the major leagues.
Yep.
If there are expanded rosters, do they automatically get to play in the major leagues? That could certainly be a possibility. What does that do to service time?
Yep.
And so there hasn't been a lot of discussion about the minor league teams, but I think that we're going to have to start opening up that door pretty quickly, because where are the players in the majors going to get their reserves from if things go wrong?
Yep, exactly. What that's telling me is, get ready for huge rosters. If they're not going to have any minor league baseball, that means we're talking about excessive rosters, way more than what we're used to, which also means that at that particular point, my word, I from a fantasy perspective, pitching, good luck. Good luck trying to figure out rotate, because now you can just, everyone's on the roster. Now you can rotate guys in like we've never seen before.
Right. Yeah, no, and I think that's a very fair point. Service time is going to have to start for some of those rookies. I don't think baseball teams are going to have the opportunity to just kick them around in the minors for a couple of months and then have them not accrue service time. I think that's going to have to change for sure. So, look, we'll still have to see. We don't know what kind of rules are going to be in place.
Right.
And they certainly are going to have to change that if indeed that is the case. Mm. Interesting NFL conversation just kind of percolating over the last couple of days. It seems like the news cycle has been focusing a lot on the New England Patriots, Joe, and their quarterbacking situation. Very rare to hear Bill Belichick, the head coach, open up with anything and essentially said that the draft didn't go according to plan. With Belichick, I'm not really sure if he's just kidding around, if he's trolling us to a degree, or what the situation is. And it's really interesting when you look at Jarrett Stidham and maybe what he could have been coming out of college a couple of years ago. If he would have, hung around, or maybe would have played a little bit better, maybe he would have been a first or second round pick. But it certainly does seem as though Belichick's got that thing on his shoulder now and just wants to show everybody that he can make this guy Jarrett Stidham into their starting quarterback. It is a little shocking that, with the exception of picking a guy up off the scrap heap, to use as an undrafted free agent,
two
which
guys.
Is what they did.
Yeah.
A couple of guys.
Yeah.
So they'll be in camp. You need four quarterbacks in camp. I mean, you got to have it.
Yep.
You're going to have more than Stidham and Hoyer. But I don't know how Cam Newton is still the favored quarterback to go to the Patriots, because that's what it is right now. That's where he stands. He's the favorite. I don't see that at all.
No.
It is really perplexing to see New England go from round one to round seven and not take a guy. It almost leads me to believe that bet the over on all of Stidham's numbers, because just based on volume, he's going to get those starts.
When you think about Bill Belichick and the New England Patriots, you seem to forget everything, even the 20 years that Tom Brady was there, the in-betweens and the people who have left New England and gotten paid serious money, because the one thing Bill Belichick and New England do better than anybody is they put guys in a position to succeed and to be successful. So it doesn't necessarily translate when they go to other places and they're asked to do more. But Bill Belichick has never been a guy, especially early on in Tom Brady's career, they didn't ask Tom Brady to go out and win games. They just asked him, don't go lose the game. And that's right. Exactly what they're going to do with Jared Stidham, too. Make the right decision, put the ball on target, and we'll move on to the next play.
Did you think that any of the backups that New England has had over the past few years would end up being stars? Because for us to say no is a little foolish, because legitimate NFL general managers thought that the Patriots backups were going to be stars. Yep. And the list is basically simple. It is Matt Castle.
Yep.
It is Ryan Mallett.
Yep.
It is Jimmy Garoppolo, right? I mean, do you throw Hoyer in there too or no?
I listen to Hoyer, I think, also a great success, another journeyman kind of thing. But again, these guys all had the most success in New England. And why is that? Because New England doesn't...
But Mallett had no success, Joe. He never did a thing.
Well, he was kind of terrible all his thing. But again, they thought enough of him that if push came to shove and they needed Mallett to come into a game, they were never going to ask him or Matt Castle or any of these guys to do more than
but what Castle played there. A whole year.
He did. He didn't have a choice.
Mallett never played a down and got a first-round pick for him.
And still got paid. That's what Belichick does better. Listen, Jimmy Garoppolo would have been the heir apparent to... He'd have gotten Brady a year. That would have never happened last year. But again, Brady, you know, went right behind Belichick and superseded him to Robert Kraft. But that was always going to be Bill Belichick's right. Garoppolo was going to be the heir apparent a year early, not a year late.
Yeah. And look, Garoppolo, for what it's worth, seems to be pretty good.
Yeah.
But we can't really put him in that category of top five quarterback or top 10 quarterback. Still makes a lot of mistakes, and San Francisco seems to be more of a running team. But it's just fascinating to me that New England, all of these years, took Castle in the draft.
Yep.
They took Garoppolo in the draft. They took Ryan Mallett in the draft. And in a year that they actually need a quarterback, they don't take one.
It just
shows you, I guess, how much they really must like this kid. I mean,
they're never going to force a quarterback. Like, I don't see Bill Belichick ever going and mortgaging the house to move up and take a shot at a guy. Garoppolo is what, a second rounder? And the only reason he took him at that point was because he was available and it made the most sense. But they're never going to reach for a quarterback. They don't find them to be that important, and they're never going to be bad enough to be in the top five to be able to go get a top flight quarterback.
I didn't see their number move all that much on FanDuel, and I'm really surprised because I wanted to do a whole thing today on the show about all the moving numbers from before and after the draft. I did notice the odds moved a little bit, but not a lot of movement, Joe, in terms of the season win totals. I thought maybe a couple would move by a half or maybe a win. I mean, some went from like minus 140 to minus 120, like back a little bit. Some went from minus 110 to minus 125.
Yep.
But not as much movement as I thought. I don't know if that means a lot of that the players aren't impact players going to the NFL, but
how much time are they going to have with their teams? I mean, that's another unknown right now. To me,
My
plan of attack is unders all season long when it starts, like the first 5-6 weeks. Give me under the total here, guy, because right now we're talking about there's a possibility these rookies and even the veterans, they're not going to be able to work together until what? Training camp, maybe? So that's a lot of time right now in between now and then where instead of working together and getting the timing down, it's going to take them a little bit longer.
Except for Kansas City. I'm not going under.
I'm with you on that. That's a good point. Yeah. Maybe Oakland. I don't know.
Every other team except for Kansas City.
Yeah, except for Kansas City. It's probably
can't ever go under on Kansas City.
And San Francisco will run all over you, so they'll just scheme you to death. So,
true. Yep. All right, so we're off and running here today on the show. Coming up next, it's time for a little This Day in Fantasy Sports History, as well as a long list of fantasy sports birthdays. And beyond that, one of the birthdays is a member of the Dallas Cowboys, so we'll spend some time on their season win total, also their odds on winning the Super Bowl and the division this year. Don't forget, you can always like and subscribe to our show on YouTube and also set your notifications on. And every single day, the show will get automatically sent right to your inbox. Mm-hmm. Fantasy Sports Today, every day, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Eastern. Not just our show, but all of the other great shows. And go back and watch some of our draft coverage on demand. We were nailing some of those picks. and some really good analysis after the picks were made. We'll be right back right here on Fantasy Sports Today on Sports Grid. Don't go away.
DailyRoto.com. Learn from the game's best DFS players. We don't just give you premier advice. We play every day. All major sports, all year round, we never stop. Industry-leading DFS tools and custom projections. And now, the DailyRoto.com Optimizer. In minutes, build an optimized lineup for cash games and tourneys. Learn from the game's best DFS players. Join DailyRoto.com.
Have you written a book and need some insight into what comes next?
Or are you passionate about cooking and want to know how to make it your career?
Or maybe you just want to hear insider stories about the entertainment industry. Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef. And on our podcast, Two Guys from Hollywood, we bring our expertise to the table with, of course, delicious cocktails and all kinds of recipes for you to try at home.
So grab a drink and join us. We've got a wide range of celebrity guests and Hollywood insiders to discuss pop culture, publishing, and entertainment. And we'll provide you with an unfiltered and sometimes brutally honest show about Hollywood.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
Welcome back to Fantasy Sports Today. Craig Mish, Joe Ranieri here with you on the show. We got you until 1 o'clock Eastern. Don't forget, you can catch Joe and Dane every morning on the early line. Anything that's happening in the world of sports betting? Have you gotten into any bullfighting? Bull riding, Joe. Bullfighting, is that a
bull sport fighting too? I'm sure that's somewhere that can we
bet
can
on
find.
That?
Yes, I'm sure.
I saw ping pong this morning.
Did you? Nice.
Yeah, some ping pong I saw. Some nice. Soccer I'm completely unfamiliar with.
Mm-hmm. I understand there's some German Bundesliga on its way back from what I understand.
So, okay.
Little right. Germany soccer coming your way. I'm excited.
All right.
It feels it. It feels like good things
couple
are going to happen
here. Yep. We're getting there.
Yep.
Getting closer every day. Well, today is April the 28th, 2020, so you know how we do it always on this show. Usually, for those of you who are regular watchers or listeners, about 20 minutes into the show, we go through this day in fantasy sports history and also tell you whose birthday it is in fantasy sports and then what kind of relevance they had in the fantasy sports world, and we tackle that. So figured we would start off to today and kind of dive into it. Joe, you ready to go?
Love it. I'm ready. Let's do this.
All right, so we start off with 1988. What a disaster. The Orioles, are you kidding me? 21 losses in a row. People forget just how bad that Orioles team was. They had Cal Ripken on that team, too, by the way. How does that happen?
I don't know. Yeah. Good question.
And, his dad got fired, by the way, as the manager of that team. I mean, how does any baseball team, Joe, lose 20 games in a row in this day and age? It seems like there's so much randomness now that it would be almost impossible.
Good point. Just the randomness alone would make it virtually impossible. It's not something
would you just blind bet it in? Would you, after the Orioles lose like 10 or 11 in a row, what kind of bettor are you? Are you the guy that is the trend is your friend and you go against them? Or do you say, oh, it's got to end sometime and you bet?
No. I ride it until you can't ride it anymore.
I agree.
Ride it right into the ground. Absolutely.
If it ain't broke, don't fix it
kind of guy. That's the kind of bettor I am. If it ain't broke, don't fix it, people. Don't look for a reason to fix it.
People are like, oh, they got to win sometime after 17 losses in a row. Maybe not.
Nope. Really not. That's like saying Chris Taylor's eventually got to hit a home run. Not necessarily.
Right.
Not necessarily.
Like the over hit five times in a row. Can't happen again.
And it will. 50-50.
All right, to 2003, Andre Agassi had a very good renaissance late in his tennis career. At the age of 33, he became tennis's oldest number one player.
Wow.
And Agassi, you know, kind of was interesting tennis career. He started off as the one that everybody wanted to see. He was very flashy, doing all the commercials, had the long hair. And then Joey shaved the head. And, and he ended up being the number one player in the world like 5 years after he was the number one. Like, took years off. I'm not even sure what was going on with Agassi during that time.
good point. Yeah, he was strange. Yeah, he had a couple of different eras that he was really relevant in. He was kind of like the wild child early on. Then
is he married to Steffi Graf still?
Steffi Graf and Brooke Shields. Yeah, like that whole era. I'm fairly certain he's still married to Steffi Graf. What a double partner that is.
Great, great player.
Yeah. Goodness.
This day, we should do a top 10 tennis. Oh, that would.
That now you're talking. Now
if we if we're down to doing that, it's going to be June or July. My hair will be out to here. Your hair will be. Yep. Have you gotten a haircut yet?
No, I'm not. It's just
me either.
It just keeps growing. It grows. It's, yeah,
we're getting by with it.
Agassi had some hair back in the day too.
He did. He shaved it.
Yep. Yeah. He was actually a better player later on in his career than he was early on. He was a little bit of a wild child early on, but then. As he got older, he got better, and that was interesting. It was a hell of an era when he was there.
Yeah, for sure. All right, now to the NFL draft.
Oh wow!
And now, three different days. I can't believe that the NFL draft was on April the 20th. I thought that early April used to be for the draft. I guess I was completely wrong because this day on April the 27th, we had three different drafts go off.
Wow!
The 2007 one. Jamarcus Russell was the top pick in the draft by the Raiders. If you want to go back and watch on demand, Joe and I dove very hard into his career when he was with LSU, one of the biggest busts in the history of the NFL. It wasn't good from day one.
Nope.
You know, there's some guys who are okay. Like, you know, Ryan Leaf was okay at the beginning. Like, you thought maybe that, like, there was never a chance for Jamarcus Russell. Like, it was never good from the first second he was on the field.
No, he didn't have that kind of work. Jamarcus Russell, to him, the end game was the draft. Like, pick number one, and then nothing else mattered after that because he knew he was going to get paid. It wasn't about the draft. Was everything he had worked for was get to the draft, be the number one pick, get your payday, and be done with it. And he got it. And he won.
It was done.
Yep. He was done.
Those are some lean Raiders years right there. Randy Moss on those teams?
He was on one of them. Yeah, he was. Yeah, he was on one.
And they went from Jamarcus Russell to Dante Culpepper, right?
Yeah, just a bad stray. It was not good there at the end. Not good.
All right, 2011, 4 years later, Cam Newton, top pick in the NFL draft for the Panthers. That certainly worked out. He'll probably be a Hall of Famer, still waiting on a team. Did you put any more thought into Cam Newton's team possibility? I know that's been a hot topic still.
I'm just for the life of me, I can't figure it out. I just don't.
How is New England the favorite? I don't get that one at all.
I don't know. It's not a good fit, and I don't see it happening at all. We went through. It was funny. Dan and I on the early line. We went through all 32 teams and asked the question of which, you know, how many teams would you, everything being equal, would you rather have the starting quarterback at that particular team right now, or would you rather have Cam Newton? And there were 22 teams that we would take Cam Newton over before anything. He's still a top 12, 13 quarterback in the NFL. It's just crazy that we're at a point now where he doesn't have a job.
I see a lot of Jacksonville being suggested, and that's only if they're trying to win. I don't think so. You know, it was interesting. If Cam Newton, if this was a baseball scenario, and I know this is like apples to oranges, but if this is a baseball scenario, what you do is you sign Cam Newton and then you trade him at the deadline.
Great
point.
Yep, absolutely. But I don't think he wants anything to do with he wants to go start somewhere. I don't know where he can. That's the problem.
Probably should, but the other thing is he can't even take a physical. I know he's been hurt. It's been hard for anybody to get physicals done too.
A lot can happen between now, though, and the start of the season. So it'll be interesting.
Now, in 2016, there were some that liked Jared Goff and some that didn't. But right after that second year that Jared Goff played, we would have looked back and said, this guy is a superstar. I mean, 40, 50 touchdowns, 4,000 yards, big contract. I was sold on Jared Goff. And then I don't know what's happened since then because they more or less have the same players. You know, it's not like they don't. I mean, Gurley is not Gurley anymore. I get that. But he still had Cooks, still had Woods. Still had a pretty good offensive line. And I don't know, Joe. Like, they're definitely regretting that money. That's all I can say.
I'm with you. I don't get it. It's the strangest. Damn. I didn't agree with I didn't like the pick then. I don't like the pick now.
Right, but in the middle, it looked really good. He was amazing 2 years ago.
He looked great. But again, product of the environment, a lot less to do with him and a lot more to do with what was around him. I don't. You're going to ask, and I also don't think they've done a great job, especially last year, of putting him in a position to succeed. You can't ask Jared Goff to throw the ball 55 times in a game and expect to win. If you're doing that, you're not going to win. That's not who he is as a quarterback.
Well, the pressure's on him this year, for sure, yeah. Which is why I think
and his coach.
I think Cam Newton's going to end up there.
Ooh, I like the way you're going with that. Like that.
All right, so that's this day in fantasy sports. Mm-hmm. Now let's get to some celebrations. Ooh. We're going to blow out some candles. We've got fantasy sports birthdays.
Of course,
Throw Ron Zook on
there. Of course
there.
You did. He's a Gator. I know what the home is.
I had to
out.
Throw Ron Zook on
yeah.
there.
You just happened to work stumble across him. That, didn't you? Yeah.
I know it didn't work out for him in Florida or Illinois or really anywhere else as a head coach, but he was nice to me. I always liked Ron Zook. Yeah. I mean, I don't know. Like, I was a fan of him. It just didn't work out.
No. You
know? I mean, he wasn't meant to be a head coach in the NFL. No. I mean, in college football, but he got his shot. I don't know why the Gators hired him in the first place. Maybe
some
they
guys
were
are a better vice president. Left. That's all. Some guys, I think Todd Bowles is in that same category there. Yeah. Better VPs, just not great presidents. That's all.
But I'm a fan.
Of course you're a fan. He's a Gator.
I like Ron. Good dude. Very, very good to me.
Yep.
All right. Hall of Famer, 1964, born in 64, Barry Larkin. Mm. Great shortstop of the era in the 90s for sure. Ended up getting in the Hall of Fame a few years ago. Not much to add there. John Daly, we're back with some John Daly mentions here on the show. We talked about him, I think, a couple of weeks ago. It's his birthday today.
JD. Yep.
I can only imagine, Joe. What do you think is on the menu for a John Daly birthday?
Yeah, it's probably definitely a six of Schlitz and a couple of packs of Marlboro Reds, I'm sure, in front of a slot machine, if I know John Daly. He's there. He's a guy that's very hard not to like. Very hard not to like. Good guy.
Just like to see. Like to see him around.
Yeah, he's just a mess.
Yeah. Okay, we go to a couple more baseball birthdays. 1983, we got David Freese, who retired this past offseason. Never quite became the player that I think a lot of people thought, but was the basic hero of the 2011 World Series and was the World Series MVP for the St. Louis Cardinals. Had some monstrous shots for them, and then went on to play for the Dodgers. Had some big hits for them as well. I'm a big David Freese fan. Some people thought that this was going to be a 30 home run, 100 RBI guy every year. He was not, but he was, it's hard to quantify saying clutch anymore. People don't say, well, guys aren't clutch. It's all about the stats. But this guy came up in some big moments in that World Series, especially against Texas when they were down and just.
Some guys amazing. Just, it's hard to put your finger on it. Some guys, there are some guys that you would say, I'd rather him up. With two strikes, nobody out. I'd rather David Freese to be up than a lot of other big superstars. Like A-Rod, if you told me A-Rod or Freese, you needed a big hit to give me David Freese all day long.
Hey, World Series MVP, not taking that away from him.
Nope, exactly.
Matt Chapman was born in 1993 on this day. One of the better offensive third basemen in baseball. One of the better defensive third basemen in baseball. Kind of unheralded. And then really came into his own last year. If they do play this year in fantasy, Matt Chapman, without a doubt, is a top five third baseman, also a great defender. And then shout out to DeMarcus Lawrence, born in 1992 for the Dallas Cowboys. And so DeMarcus Lawrence, of course, David Kander, who we had on the show right before the draft, that's his agent.
Yeah.
Lawrence, one of the highest paid players in the NFL.
Yeah, he did big things expected for him, anchoring that defense. So like everything else, though, it'll be a lot of tears and regret, Dallas.
Yeah. Well, speaking of which, we're going to transition into the Cowboys here a little bit. And with
give me the under.
All right, guys, have a great day. It's like Notre Dame and Dallas.
Yeah,
like those two teams are, usually against them, against the spreads. People like to bet them. They don't always cover. They don't always hit their number for sure.
Nope.
But let's take a look here at the Dallas Cowboys futures odds for 2020, building off the DeMarcus Lawrence conversation. And by the way, this is courtesy of FanDuel here. The NFC East, Dallas is plus 105, so they're basically even money there, Joe.
Interesting.
To win the Pro Football Championship, they can't say Super Bowl on the website. I get it. 17-1, plus 1,700. Those of you who are unclear as to what that means, it's just basically 17-1. And then their season win total moved a little bit. It went from minus 140 to minus 150 on the over at 9.5, and the under 9.5 is plus 125. So anything stand out to you with the Cowboys based on anything they did in the draft or did not do? And if there's any value at all, I guess getting a little bit of plus money on the NFC East, I suppose that you could go that direction. The NFC East was just a disaster all of last year. Any chance the Giants are a little better? Any chance the Redskins are a little better? Any chance Philadelphia takes a better step this year?
Yeah, and I think that's really what it comes down to. Are you Team Dallas or Team Eagles? Because it's going to be one of those two battling. I do think the Giants are going to be better, a little bit more competitive this year. I thought they had a great draft. I think Washington, although the results weren't there last year, it was a mess of a season. But coaching plays a huge part in the NFL, and I think they got a couple of guys there that, in Jack Del Rio and Rivera, who will make it where even if they don't win, they're going to be in a lot of games that they probably shouldn't. So I do like the Eagles' chances to win. I think somebody's going to win 10 games and win this division. I'm not sold that it's going to be the Cowboys at this particular point because they didn't do enough on the defensive side of the ball, as far as I'm concerned, to be able to make them the clear favorite in the NFC East.
And why are they holding out with this Dak Prescott money? You know they're going to have to pay him. Like, they've got no other choice. I mean, the Cowboys without Dak Prescott playing 16 games will go 2-14.
Yep. And I listen, Mike McCarthy, new coach, new system. There's a lot on. I mean, just to lay it down, I mean, look at these numbers. I mean, 9.5, you're talking that laying minus 150 at 9.5. So Dallas is going to win 10 games. I don't know what Mike McCarthy is going to bring to the table. I have no idea. Guy did nothing but undervalue, you know, never lived up to the hype while he was in Green Bay. Should have had at least two or three Super Bowls.
They got one.
Yeah. I don't know. I think there's a lot more value in that plus 125 number.
Yeah, I mean, maybe taking Philadelphia is certainly the way to go there. But look, I mean, Dallas decided to pay Zeke Elliott, Amari Cooper before paying Dak Prescott. But the one story that always is the same with Jerry Jones is that the guys may hold out, but eventually they get paid. I think that's going to be the deal with Dak. I mean, look, he's probably not the best quarterback in the NFL or second best, but he's better than 20-plus other guys. Right,
I just
now.
Want to spend one night on Jerry's yacht. That's all. Just give me like one night on the yacht. Jerry, come down, pick us up. Mish and I, pick us up down in port. We're good to go. You know, we'll go out, and then I'll bet all day long that you guys win the Super Bowl.
I like it.
Ain't going to happen. Yes.
Sounds like a plan.
Yep.
While we have some stone crabs and meatballs.
Exactly. Let's go, Jerry. Let's go. Call us. We're here.
All right. Coming up next, we're going to get into a little bit of a deeper conversation about fantasy football and how the draft ramifications worked out in fantasy as we bring in Howard Bender from the Fantasy Alarm. So Howard will join us next, and he'll be on with us coming up. And then also at the top of the hour, we'll hit on some baseball. So a full 30 minutes with the RotoBuzz guy, Howard Bender. That's coming up next right here on Sports Grid. And don't forget, you can follow me on Twitter at Craig Mish, follow Joe Ranieri at Joe Ranieri, and let us know at Sports Grid any comments or questions on the show. We'll handle it for you. We'll be right back after this. Don't go back.
DailyRoto.com. Learn from the game's best DFS players. We don't just give you premier advice. We play every day. All major sports, all year round, we never stop. Industry-leading DFS tools and custom projections. And now, the DailyRoto.com Optimizer. In minutes, build an optimized lineup for cash games and tourneys. Learn from the game's best DFS players. Join DailyRoto.com.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. I'm still on my own journey, but I want to be transparent with you because as I was posting all the highlights of my life on social media, I was breaking down. And too many people fall victim to the picture-perfect image of the high life. So I created a space to discuss the good and the bad. We can laugh, man. We gonna learn. And most of all, I hope to inspire you to go on this journey with me to better mental health. This is gonna be your church, your turn up, and everything in between. So join me on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, a safe space for every kind of person. Listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And welcome back to Fantasy Sports Today. Craig Mish along with Joe Ranieri with you here on the show. And of course, with the NFL draft, their rearview mirror, there's some fantasy to discuss, some ramifications there, some early drafts, and of course, a lot of fantasy baseball to not discuss, but we'll fight our way around that if we have to here on the show. Who better to talk about that with basically the man who makes it all work over at Fantasy Alarm and FantasyAlarm.com. Of course, my partner on the live streams for WagerAlarm.com. Hopefully we have some of those live streams a little bit later on this year. And Howard Bender joins us now to talk about that. Howard, good morning. Thank you so much for coming on the show. And how is life? How are you? Good to see you.
You know, life is life. It's great to be seen. Thanks so much to you and Joe for having me on today. You know, it is what it is. Shelter in place. I don't go out much anyway. I don't do a lot of socializing. So I'm okay with that aspect of it. But yeah, when you have to pin all your hopes onto the NFL draft and pray that 32 general managers and head coaches don't screw it up, it's a little troublesome.
Yeah, and I know that, like us, you guys did a lot of broadcasting and certainly covering the draft from start to finish. And I guess we could kind of start there. I do want to hit on baseball with you, but I guess we could kind of start with the draft. I feel like, Howard, in 2020, looking at fantasy football drafts, and I know we're so far out, I won't even get involved in it, but I am sort of looking at some of the possibilities. I feel like there will be a lot of rookies drafted this year in fantasy. I just don't know that we're going to see any in the first couple of rounds, which is a little bit of a switch. Of course, Barkley a couple of years ago, and McCaffrey certainly has been a stud. But it feels like there's a lot of depth. I feel like in 12 and 15 team leagues, we'll probably have a rookie or two on our team, maybe more than we have in the past. But have you identified any players that you think right out of the box in 2020 could be starting for you at running back as maybe an RB2 or a wide receiver 3?
Yeah, I mean, what you're going to end up seeing a lot of is a lot of Clyde Edwards-Helaire, who was taken by the Chiefs with the last pick of the first round. I still think that he and Damian Williams will share that role. But Edwards-Helaire is going to be very popular in drafts. Cam Akers landed in L.A. with the Rams. And they only have Malcolm Brown and Daryl Henderson. So he should actually make a little bit of a splash. And then a lot of people are talking about Jonathan Taylor supplanting Marlon Mack altogether in Indianapolis. DeAndre Swift has the opportunity to outplay Kerryon Johnson. But, you know, when I look at it here, and I think one fact that I think a lot of people are forgetting, no OTAs in May. There will be no June mini camp. If sports does start up on July 4th weekend with no fans, maybe then they get to open up training camp, but you know, these rookies are not going to have the prep time with the team or the coaching staff like they usually had. And I think that that's something that you really need to take into consideration when you're looking at drafting rookies. What's their prep time going to be? And if we're dealing with all of these split backfields like we do see happening, which is the growing trend in the NFL, then you know, why wouldn't the coach lean a little bit more heavily on the incumbent, knowing that he's had more than ample time to prep with them?
Yeah, and I think that's a really good point. And Joe and I on the show yesterday were talking about that, and we were piecing together at least that we could start here with running backs and which of the ones that could really not be part of that running back by committee. And Howard, I mean, you and I all year long watch Georgia. We know how good Swift is, but you know, the bottom line is Kerryon Johnson is still there. And I watch Cam Akers, so do you at FSU. But, you know, I mean, the bottom line there is Henderson is still going to be a factor. And so I was trying to find someone of the bunch that could emerge. And, you know, Vaughn was the only one on Tampa that I kind of looked at and said, well, you know, I mean, old regime versus new regime. And I feel like it's just, you know, sort of even a false narrative at this point. But I feel like all the rookie running backs in 2 years from now, we're going to be talking about first or second round picks, but I'm just not so sure that anybody emerges as the guy from this class.
Yeah, I don't feel like there is anybody out there who is the quote unquote bell cow back that you really love to want to have to work the every day, you know, every down. Ronald Jones actually kind of turned it up a little bit last year.
Yeah.
And, you know, listen, so I think that they're going to want to utilize him between the tackles, and Keyshawn Vaughn is basically going to turn into Tampa Bay's version of James White. Now, for fantasy purposes in a PPR format, that's all fine and dandy. But, I mean, if you're dealing in a fantasy draft, whether it's a brand new dynasty draft right now, or you're doing a dynasty rookie pick, I'm lukewarm on a lot of these running backs. You want that early pick. You want that Saquon Barkley, Christian McCaffrey, Dalvin Cook, Zeke Elliott, because once you get past that top group, then it really becomes dicey, not just from the rookie standpoint, but from the actual incumbent standpoint as well for NFL.
Yeah, Howard, which team do you listen? Miami did something interesting too, didn't they? With Breida, and now they got Howard down there. It seems to me like there's a lot of, all of a sudden, it's 2 and 3 team parlays, really. Like, hey, you get the ball, I'll get the ball. I mean, it's great from the standpoint of keeping the room fresh, but it's terrible from a fantasy perspective.
It's horrible from a fantasy perspective. And you know what we're kind of doing right now is we're cycling backwards into late 90s, late 90s, early 2000s, when PPR became wildly abundant because you needed to counteract the Sean Alexanders and LaDainian Tomlinsons of the world, the guys who could just literally carry you to a victory each week just on their own. We're not seeing that with the running back position anymore. And I think that that's really kind of, you know, where the direction that we've gone in the NFL right now. And you're going to have that, the Jordan Howard and Matt Breida situation is perfectly laid out. How many times, we saw Jordan Howard bounce to two different teams over the last couple of seasons. Why? Because Matt Nagy was trying to make him a pass catching back that he isn't. Philadelphia tried, Doug Peterson tried to do it also. I mean, we were told back to back seasons, well, he's good. He's working on catching passes. We're going to love to have it. And then what happens is that all of a sudden you get that third down back. So Miami, they're just, they're like, listen, Ballage is garbage.
Right.
Patrick Laird isn't going to do anything. So, if you just say Jordan Howard is our between the tackles kind of guy, Matt Breida is our third down pass catching back. I mean, I think right now at this point, you're probably seeing a good 75 to 80% of the running backs situations in the NFL turning into that tandem situation as opposed to the bell cow.
And I think that that's a big part of it too, because none of the running backs really ended up in situations where they could just take the lead. If Swift, as an example, would have ended up in Tampa Bay,
right?
I mean, I think that he'd be a second round pick in fantasy. But look, Kerryon Johnson, while he's almost never healthy, when he is, he's pretty good. And that's, kind of the part of this is that you have to wait for some of these guys to go down. A lot of them will be great handcuffs, but maybe not so much starters. Now, wide receiver, on the other hand, Howard's a little bit different, I think, because I think talent may overshine some spots. I mean, clearly Dallas and Lamb, I think he may have ended up in the best spot of all. He may not be the best receiver in this thing, but he ended up in a great spot. And Howard, Jalen Reagor, I've been talking about him now for a couple of years. I love the spot that he ended up in Philadelphia. I mean, he's my favorite wide receiver in the entire NFL draft this past week. But how do you see wide receivers? I feel like we're going to have 5 or 6 in terms of guys that we may end up rostering. But again, I'm not so sure week 1 we're willing to throw these guys out at wide receiver 3.
No, and listen, you say CeeDee Lamb. I think CeeDee Lamb, for fantasy purposes, landed in a horrible spot. Like, they just gave Amari Cooper $100 million. He'll be there for 2 years. Michael Gallup is emerging. He's there right now. You got Blake Jarwin, who's emerging. And overall, isn't this offense supposed to all just run through Zeke? So,
I don't know. I don't really see it that way.
For reality purposes, it's great.
I think Lamb ends up getting – I don't think that they were satisfied with Gallup. I mean, I don't know that they make that pick unless they are. I guess that's the way
I think they had to make that pick. I mean, first of all, they know that Amari Cooper – could be gone in 2 years. And then you don't know what you're going to do with Gallup with his contract. So I think when a talent like CeeDee Lamb falls into your lap like that, like it did for them, I mean, you have to jump on that. You have to put team need aside for best player available when you get somebody of that talent level in CeeDee Lamb. But if you're talking just fantasy purposes here, I think Jeudy lands in a good spot, even though he's going to be second fiddle to Courtland Sutton. I love Michael Pittman as the number two in Indianapolis next to T.Y. Hilton. I think Ruggs will be inconsistent, but he's still going to get a lot of deep shots downfield. And then Brandon Ayuk for San Francisco, I think that's going to be a nice situation. I'll take all of those guys in fantasy for a redraft league. I'll take all of them over CeeDee Lamb. If I'm doing dynasty, well, I think CeeDee Lamb in 2-3 years is going to be a monster.
Maybe I got to throw my rankings away then, Joe.
Yeah, I was going to say, your rankings suck.
He just went against everything that we talked about yesterday in the show. I mean, Howard, I don't think Jeudy ended up – Judy's my favorite guy, but I don't think he ended up in a good spot in Denver
really?
At all.
Why?
No. They run the ball. That's all they do.
No, it's not all they do. I mean, listen, they haven't had any wide receivers now. Cortland Sutton really emerged.
What do you mean? They had Sutton, then Sanders last year.
John Elway has spent the last how many years trying to draft himself? He finally gets a good, strong passer in Drew Lock. Denver was going to trade into the top 10 if they thought it was necessary just to grab Jeudy, and Jeudy falls into Elway's lap at 15. Elway's like, yeah. You
know, he's got to get a new head coach then, because Fangio, he hands the ball off, and 25 seconds later, they run the next play, they hand it off again. That's what's going on the whole year with them, not just with
what
Flacco,
but even
with
what happens when you
have
Tim Patrick and Deshaun Hamilton as your 2 and 3 wide receivers?
They had Noah Fant, too.
He's got a point.
Right? So you've got a wide receiver, double coverage, and you got a good power catching tight end. That's all right, it. That's all you have.
Why are you siding with him, John?
Let's talk about a real team, all right? The New York Jets, all right?
Yes!
My favorite team. Thank you. Let's talk about the Jets. Let's talk about Mims here and his role in this team. I mean, they're, of all the wide receivers, honestly, there's a couple of sleepers in there you got to like. Do you think Jefferson makes a big impact, replacing Diggs in Minnesota? You think Mims could actually be a favorite target of Sam Darnold? I love both picks, and I think both are going to be poised to have pretty decent seasons here, considering I think Ruggs is going to be complete hit or miss. He's either going to score you 30 points, or he's going to cost you -4 points. It's just the way it's going to be.
Finally, somebody I can talk legit football
with.
Yeah,
no kidding.
Mims is great. I couldn't believe that Mims fell to the Jets. I could not believe. I was stunned when the Rams took Van Jefferson before Denzel Mims, I was blown away. Now, listen, Mims he's a raw talent, but he's got such great ability. The hands are solid. The wingspan is great. The speed is good. He needs a little bit more refinement in running his routes, but, it's going to be a different style of offense than what he was used to over at Baylor, when they could just, they're just chucking it up around, and just letting him come down with it. So I'm looking at Mims as a guy who, you still have Breshad Perriman, you've got Jamison Crowder, Ryan Griffin is their tight end. So I think Mims is going to be a nice complementary weapon. I'm not going to reach for him in drafts. I'm going to let him kind of fall to me. The stigma of being on the Jets will suppress some fantasy value as well. But I'm telling you, you put Sam Darnold anywhere like from the 15 to the 25-yard line, I mean, he's got now two really nice big targets on the outside in Mims and Perriman to be able to get that ball into the end zone a lot quicker than he's been able to.
Now, at quarterback and tight end, we obviously know that Burrow will start from day one and have the most fantasy value at quarterback. We went through tight ends yesterday real quick, Howard. We didn't really see anything.
Drew Sample. Drew Sample in Cincinnati. They used like a third-round pick on him last year, right?
I didn't see anything.
I was going to draft Howard Bender at tight end, man, because that's about – you were the best one to come out, Bender. You really were. I don't understand. What the hell did the Bears – what were the Bears thinking? Honestly, help me out here.
That I have no idea. I got to be honest with you. I feel bad for Cole Kmet.
Yeah.
Like, I really do feel bad for him. Yep. That is garbage on top of garbage on top of garbage. They can't even figure out their quarterback situation right now.
Nope.
And I think that that's going to be a huge issue for the Bears. I don't think Trubisky can put up any kind of consistency. And they've obviously shown that they're going to they could turn to Nick Foles at the drop of a hat. If they do turn to Nick Foles, I don't even know if that's going to be a step up from Trubisky. But tight end wise, yeah, this is not good. It wasn't. I mean, it was a good class. It wasn't a great class, but none of these guys are going to have any kind of fantasy impact in 2020 at all.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think it was good at all. It was a horrible fantasy. I'm glad I don't need a tight end in my dynasty league.
I thought you were talking about like the Bengals tight end situation, which is why I said Drew Sample.
Oh, no, no. I meant just overall.
Oh, overall. No, this is a hot
this
mess.
This is not
dude.
The draft. I mean, last year we had Fant and Hockenson both go, you know? I mean,
this is like a poo emoji instead of a position.
Horrible. Yeah, that's a good point.
All right. I want to bring you back, but before we do, before we take a break, just real quick, I know that you and I have a blast doing these live streams where we go over our picks for the Golden Nugget contest on Friday night. And the super contest, and then we give the lines out and talk about which way they move and not. I gotta tell you, like Howard, that's one of the most favorite things that I do every year when we do those and make our picks and we put our money where our mouth is and spend a lot of money on these things. I'm a little afraid that we may not have a chance to do that this year, man. Like, I would assume the NFL is gonna play no matter what, and this is all gonna be forgotten about in 3 months. But I'm still a little worried about college. I mean, I enjoy doing both of these.
What happened to accentuating the positive and eliminating the negative, Craig?
Well, I'm a little worried, you know.
I'm deathly afraid there's not going to be any baseball this year. I'm deathly afraid of that.
But I think they'll play.
Okay.
But I'm worried that college is going to get pushed back. I'm not worried about the NFL. I would assume the super contest will be on. They took entries for it already. So.
Listen, I don't see any reason. I mean, college football, if they can push it back, like, you know, a month or two, I think it's more important for the kids who are playing college football to make sure that you do get that complete season. I mean, look at what happened, you know, this year with like the MLB draft, just as an example. I mean, what happens to all those, you know, the high school kids, who aren't going to, you know, who didn't get to play, you know, the last couple of months of their season, right. The college kids who didn't get the College World Series. Mm. Like this was their big stage to really line up for the MLB draft. And now all of a sudden it's a truncated draft with, you know, what's, you know, these kids aren't getting seen. So
5 rounds. Yeah.
I think, you know, I mean, unless you want like a whole mess of more uneducated football players running around the world and trying to own everything.
Fantasy baseball is a hot topic, too. Howard just wrote about it in the New York Post. Mm-hmm. When we come back after the break, in hour number two, we're going to dive into what Howard says about fantasy baseball in 2020. Don't go away.
DailyRoto.com. Learn from the game's best DFS players. We don't just give you premier advice. We play every day. All major sports, all year round, we never stop. Industry-leading DFS tools and custom projections. And now, the DailyRoto.com Optimizer. In minutes, build an optimized lineup for cash games and tourneys. Learn from the game's best DFS players. Join DailyRoto.com.
Ever wondered how a book gets made into a movie?
Or how to master the art of cooking?
Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef.
On our podcast, we're going to be serving you a fresh perspective of the entertainment industry alongside our favorite celebrity guests.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
The World Cup Championship will be crowned this week, and you can trade the tourney through the finals on Kalshi, America's number one prediction market platform. Right now, Spain is trading at 58% to beat Argentina, meaning 100 trade pays out 166 if they win. On Kalshi, you're trading against other people in a live market. No house, no odds makers. For a limited time, download the Kalshi app and use code DEFEND to get $10 when you trade $10. Kalshi. Kalshi. Trade the beautiful game. 18 plus only. Restrictions and eligibility requirements apply. Event contract trading involves risk and may not be suitable for all investors. Kalshi products are not available in all jurisdictions. Prices, values, and available markets may differ from those mentioned. For more information, see kalshi.com/regulatory.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory Lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.